Well, before Claire comes up, I'm going to share today's reading, which is Matthew 14, starting at chapter 13. Pretty sure that's right. So when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let me pray for Claire before she comes up. Father God, we're so grateful to have Claire with us today. We look forward to what she has to share with us now. And Father God, we pray that she would, that you would speak through her, and we will be challenged by what she brings to us. Amen.
Thank you, David. I felt a bit guilty. I just stood on that nice knee cushion. Don't tell your friend in the Methodist church, will you, that it's got my footprint. It's not mine, okay? So nice to be back here with you at King's Church, and thank you for your welcome. Do you know, I love coming and speaking here. This is my third time, believe it or not, and I love coming here. Well, first of all, because you're really nice people. And secondly, because Boston Spa is where I grew up. So I lived in Boston Spa until I was 18 and then moved off and went down to university and, you know, and that's that. But also because you're big supporters of compassion. You are a church that really gets it, gets God's heart for the poor. And I always say, sign of a healthy church. So thank you very much for that. And I'm guessing that everybody here has heard of compassion already. Put your hand up if you've never heard of the organisation Compassion. Just a couple of you. Well, very, very, very briefly, leading Christian child development organisation, works through churches across the world, helping some of the world's poorest children, currently supporting more than 2.2 million children across the world. Very sound organisation, very credible and very, very effective. And then that's all financed by people here sponsoring children, which is what a number of people in this church are doing. So next slide, please. Great pity about the sunshine. We're thankful for the sunshine, of course. But many of you are involved in sponsoring children, at least 18 children sponsored by people in this church. And that means that you're giving these children a much better life. And thank you so much for that. You're literally changing the lives of these children. If you're looking at this slide and you're thinking, I'm sponsoring a child and my child isn't up there, then please come and tell me and we can link your sponsorship to your church records. And if you're looking at this slide and you're thinking, well, nobody's ever told me that I can do this before, then don't worry about that either, because later on I'll be telling you how you can get involved and possibly sponsor a child. And obviously, I'm hoping that you're going to be listening to what I'm saying this afternoon as I'm sharing, and hopefully laughing at my jokes and leaning into what I might be saying to you. But really, what I'd ask you to do is listen out to what God might be saying to you about this as I share His word. And these children, you are part of their lives, and they're part of your lives, and you're part of their church, and they're part of your church, And do you know that every Sunday when they go to their church in the western part, southwestern part of Rwanda, they're all being helped by the same church in the Butare region of Rwanda. They're praying for you. They pray for their sponsors. Isn't that incredible? You get to touch their lives and they get to touch your lives. Fantastic, fantastic. Next slide, please. You can't read this. This is the definition of extreme poverty. I'll read it out to you. I don't normally read slides out, but I will read this one because you can't read it. So the definition of extreme poverty, United Nations say, is a condition characterized by severe deprivation of basic human needs, including food, safe water, sanitation, shelter, healthcare, education, and information. That's the definition of extreme poverty. One in 10 people in the world are living in those conditions. It means they don't even get the basics. So they're living in complete destitution. But it's not just lack of money and material wealth, extreme poverty. It doesn't just mean that they can't buy these things. It means that they have no choice of what they can do in their lives. They have no opportunity to break out of the circumstances that they're born into. They have no hope ever of having a decent life. And no voice, nobody to turn to, no one who's going to listen to them. We know that this isn't how God intended the world to be, don't we? We know that, don't we? There's more than 2,000 verses in the Bible about poverty and injustice and God's commands to his people to intervene and share his love and his justice in the world. Children who are born into these circumstances are living in the most awful situations, like the children that we've just seen that you're helping. Without your help, they have no opportunity in life. They don't get enough food, so they're malnourished. It means they don't develop properly, physically or mentally. They'll suffer from poor health because they've got to drink dirty water, and because they don't get enough food, and because they don't get any health care or vaccinations. They don't get a chance to go to school. I mean, we heard how much the children here loved going to school, didn't we? But at least they have the opportunity to go to school and be bored and have to do maths and all those sorts of things. At least they get the opportunity to make something of themselves in life. Whereas the children that you're supporting without your help simply don't get those opportunities. 400 million children around the world today living in those circumstances. But these aren't just numbers, they're real children, real people. 400 million. Unbelievable. It's just awful, isn't it? And of course, it's been even worse during COVID times. It's already a struggle to survive for people. So when you get when you can't go out to work, you can't pay for food, so you can't feed your family. You risk being evicted from your house. So shocking times for people during this latest season. So thank you so much for your support. It's easy to think, isn't it, that we're too small to make a difference, that there's nothing that we can do about this. But I really want to encourage you this afternoon that we can make a difference. That's exactly what you're doing through your support of Compassion and through the other things that you're doing as well. We are agents for change. We are God's agents for change in the world, his church, his people. That's who we're called to be, and it's who we're empowered to be as well. Many things that we can do to make a difference in the world. Compassion is just one very easy, very effective way that we can change the world with the love of Jesus, one child at a time. It really works. Next slide, please. So this is how Compassion works. We work in 25 of the world's poorest countries through more than 8,000 churches. So it's the body of Christ changing the world with the love of Jesus. And through those churches, children, they reach out and help the poorest children in their communities. And those children receive everything that they need to be lifted out of poverty. It's not just a bit of aid, everything that they need to overcome extreme poverty in their lives. All kinds of opportunities that we take for granted here that they simply wouldn't get otherwise. So they'll get to go to school. They'll get healthcare. They'll get job skills training, vocational training. They'll get all kinds of love and support and encouragement from local Christians in their local church that show them the love of Jesus. All children are taught the gospel. Compassion is an overtly Christian organisation. Children don't have to believe in order to receive what they receive from the church, but they're encouraged to follow Jesus. And many of them do choose to follow him and find hope in him, because he is the hope of the world, is he not? All of this is funded by people here sponsoring children. It costs less than £1 a day to sponsor a child and change a child's life. As a sponsor, the money that you send is so important. It goes so far to pay for all these things that the children receive. But the most important thing in your child's life, your sponsored child's life, is you as their sponsor. The fact that you've chosen to get involved in their life. The fact that you love them, that you send them letters. The letters that you send bring them so much joy. Each child has just one sponsor. So if you're sponsoring a child, you are their only sponsor. You mean the world to the child that you sponsor. So thank you so much for doing that. What a privilege it is, isn't it? Those of us who are sponsoring, just to be able to write a few words of love and encouragement to the child that we sponsor and help them to see beyond the circumstances that they're born into. Next slide, please. Mother Teresa, very famous picture, very famous lady, devoted her life to helping the poorest of the poor and the sick in the slums of Calcutta. Also found time to come out with some fantastic quotes, Mother Teresa. Have a look at Mother Teresa quotes at some stage. She was so blunt, Mother Teresa, I think she could have been a Yorkshire woman. But I was reminded of this quote: don't worry about what you can't do, do what you can. When I was working on our allotment last year, Pete and I, as did many people last year, got an allotment. Just something to do with all the spare time that we had during lockdown. And we finally got an allotment. And we spent most of the summer digging because it was in a bit of a state. That explains my muscles, by the way, for those of you who are wondering where my muscles come from. But one of our neighbours was talking to me on our neighbouring allotment, and he said, it's all looking very good and all looking very neat and tidy, but why are you leaving that foxglove? There was a foxglove in the just in the middle of the allotment, and I'd been carefully digging around it. And I said, well, the bee population in the world is in decline. I don't know if you know. And so we want a bee-friendly allotment. And he just laughed, and he said, it's one foxglove. It's one foxglove, you know, what are you hoping to do with that? And just as he said those words, I kid you not, this is true, a little bee flew past and went into the foxglove. And he said, well, I suppose it's made a difference for that bee. Anyway, that reminded me of this passage, of this quote, and indeed of this whole message. So this is, but the point is, it's a small thing. But we can all do something that makes a difference. And it's easy to be overfaced with the issues that are around in the world. Extreme poverty is just one of them. There's others. Where do you even start? But I think the good news is that we don't have to do it all. We just have to do what we can. And it's not just Mother Teresa who says this. I believe that this is what God says as well. This is what the Bible tells us. And the theme of multiplication runs through the whole Bible. God is in the business of multiplication. Yes? It's amazing to see what God does, even with the small things that we're prepared to offer him. And we see this in the reading of the 5,000, in the feeding of the 5,000. And thank you for the reading of that. And feeding of the 5,000 is a very, very well-known story, isn't it? It's the only miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels, other than the resurrection, of course. So it's a really important story. Next slide, please. When the disciples told Jesus to send the crowds away because there wasn't any food, Jesus told them to give the crowds something to eat. "You feed them," he said. "How could they possibly feed all those people? What would you have done?" I wonder. We're not told whether it's the disciples who had the loaves and the fish, or whether the loaves and the fish came from the crowd. In John's Gospel, it tells us that it was a small boy who shared his lunch with the disciples. And I kind of like that idea that, you know, there's his mum packing his packed lunch on a morning and sending the little boy off, and we're still talking about it all these hundreds of years later. But either way, five small loaves and two small fish weren't enough to feed 12 hungry disciples, never mind more than 5,000 people. But Jesus told the disciples to give him the few things that they had. "Bring them to me," he said, and he multiplied them and fed thousands with them. Now, Jesus could have fed the 5,000 people without the disciples, couldn't he? Dead easy, couldn't he? Why do you think he didn't? I'm not expecting any answers there, but there's a question that I've been asking myself. I believe it's because he wanted to shatter their tiny expectations, to help them to see, and us to see, not just what he, Jesus, can do, but what we can do in him. To help us to learn not to worry about the things that we can't do, but just to do what we can, to give to God what we can, and see that he can and will use anything that we give, and he will multiply it and expand it beyond what we ourselves can do. Are you with me so far? Now, I know that as I'm standing here, you probably think, she looks very intelligent. I can't believe how many people laughed, actually. Can't believe how many people laughed. When I was at school, I went to Primrose Lane Junior School. I don't know if Primrose Lane Junior School is still there, and I went to the Comprehensive. Okay, both excellent schools. But I was hopeless at maths. I mean, I was completely hopeless at maths, and I was completely hopeless at my times tables. I still don't know my times tables, and I'm proud to say it as well. But even I know that anything multiplied by nothing is... Yeah, you see, you're good at maths, aren't you? God doesn't ask us to give what we don't have. I believe he just asks us to give what we do have. He doesn't force us to give him anything. And it's entirely our choice. But if we give to God nothing, then he can multiply nothing. I think this is really important. I think there's so much in this very nice little story. And I think it's really important. Were the disciples fed? Well, they're fed, yeah. Did they get enough to eat? Did they end up with less than they started with? No. They didn't. They ended up with more. The story tells us that there were 12 basketfuls of food left over. That means the disciples had a basketful of bread and fish each. Isn't that incredible? People think that if we're giving something to God, then we are losing out. Is it true? Not true, is it? People also say that if we're not giving to God, then we're robbing God. I actually think we're robbing ourselves of the joy and the privilege of giving something to God and seeing him work and seeing the amazing things that he can do with what we're prepared to give. This is such a fundamental part of God's kingdom that when we're prepared to give something to God, we get so much back. Is that your experience? So true. I'll just use one of my sponsored children as an example of this. Next slide, please. So this is Marcelino from Bolivia. Now, if you're born into poverty in Bolivia, then you don't have an education and you can't break out of the poverty that you're born into, then you face a life of gangs, drugs, crime. And that would have been his future without my help. It cost me less than £1 a day, and I can ensure that he goes to school. I can ensure that he grows up strong and healthy and confident. Such an amazing thing to do. I got involved with Marcelino. I was at Spring Harvest a good few years ago now, and I was looking through a pile of children that were waiting for sponsors and just flicking through them like you do. There was no way I was going to sponsor another child, okay? No way. And came across this little boy from Bolivia, looked at this child, thought nothing of it. But something in my spirit said, okay, if he shares the same birthday that I've got, I'll do it. I knew before I even looked that Marcelino was born on the 20th of March. And it makes me shiver even remembering it. So, of course, I end up sponsoring Marcelino. And not long after that, I send him a family gift, which is something that you can do just to bless his family. Next slide, please, Jordan. So this is Marcelino holding his jumper up and his sister and his mum and dad with some of the things that he was able to buy with the gift that I sent. And I get to bless him, that little boy. I've got a letter here that he wrote to me just before lockdown, actually. Would you like to hear what he has to say? So he writes in Spanish, quite good writing, actually. So he writes in Spanish. And then it gets translated. This is what he says. Dear sponsor Ms. Claire Nelson, I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the letter you sent me. I want to tell you that I'm doing well in school. The first trimester ended, I got good grades in 3 subjects and I didn't in 1. But for the second trimester, I will improve and get good grades. Answering your question, I am fine. And at school, I learned fractions in maths class. I couldn't think of anything worse. I learned fractions in maths class. My favourite subject is science, and I have lots of friends. Thank you for sending greetings to my parents and for supporting me. That's all for me. I say goodbye with love and affection, and I will be looking forward to your next letter. And then he goes on. I ask you to pray for me and my little sister so that we can go home. And also for my parents to get out of jail and for us to be together again. Just incredible, you know. You might never know what your sponsored children are going through and the circumstances that they're living in because of the hardships of the life that they're facing. But just know the hope that you're bringing to them and the difference that you're making in their lives. Marcelino here, he's empowered to change the circumstances that he's born into so that he doesn't have to go through those circumstances. I don't know what's happened to his parents and why they're in jail, but I do know that he is given hope to move beyond that and to see beyond that. Next slide, please. So this is a more recent photograph that I received of him. I sent him and his sister just a small gift, I don't know, £10, £15, something like that. And I got this back. They bought shoes for each other. They are actually now living at home. Apparently his parents are out of jail, and that's fine. But I get to be part of that little boy's life. I get to know him. I get to influence his life. I get to encourage him. I can't change the world, but I can change his world. And for what's a relatively small investment, less than £1 a day, it has a huge impact on him, and the multiplication impact of that is huge. He goes on to change his life, his family's life, and a knock-on effect into the communities around him, and as he grows up, changing the lives of many other people as well. God uses ordinary people to do small things and to do extraordinary things and really make a difference. Alone, we can't do it all, but with God, we can all be part of making a big change in the world. Do you know what your part is, I wonder, today? Compassion is just one of the things that we can do, one of the things that many of you are doing. It's a fantastic thing that you're doing, and so rewarding, isn't it? Honestly, I can't think of anything better that I can spend my money on. Next slide, please. If this is something that you'd like to do, you have an opportunity to change your life through sponsorship today. Maybe it's something that you're not yet doing and you've thought about doing. Well, maybe today is the day to do it. Maybe you're thinking, it's not that much money, I could do another child. There's no limit on the number of children that you're allowed to sponsor. These are all children being helped by your partner church in Rwanda. These children face the circumstances that we've discussed, all kinds of abuse and exploitation, child labour, no hope of having a better life without help. They live in one-roomed houses with their families. The houses have cement floors, brick walls and tin roofs. They won't get a chance to go to school, but you get to change that if that's something that you'd like to do. They go to church as well. Yeah, they do. They go to church. So, and they're all taught the gospel. They're not forced. They're not forced to go to church. But many of the children do go to church, and their families go to church as well. Simply because they see the love of God in action, and they respond to that. And indeed, who wouldn't respond to that? So it's not just giving them physical hope and mental hope, but also spiritual and emotional hope as well. So it's a fantastic thing to do. I'll just introduce you to a couple of them. Next slide, please. So this is Khadija. She's 6. She lives with her mum and dad, and she likes playing football. There you go. It's not only the boys who like playing football. Next slide. This is Fabrice. There's quite a few of the children that I have here, actually, that's wearing that top. Now, it could be the school uniform, but it's also perfectly possible that it's the only decent top that these children have amongst them, so they're all wearing the same top. And I particularly think this about him because it's quite short on him. So this is Fabrice. He's 8 years old. He likes playing hide and seek. He goes to school and his favourite subject is music. Yeah. Next slide, please. Diane, we're in the same top. 5 years old. She likes playing ball games. The diet, by the way, where these children live is beans, cabbage, maize, potato and wheat. And that's all that they get to eat. And these children will only get food if their parents can work on a particular day, because they work in agriculture on a day-to-day basis. Next slide, please. This is Nathan. He's 9. Just to say, by the way, Nathan has probably been sponsored before at the age of 9, and that means that his sponsor has had to back out. And people often say to me, I'm not going to sponsor a child because I don't know whether I'll be able to afford it. I don't know what my circumstances are going to be. I just say, do it for as long as you can. And if your circumstances change for any reason, then you can always back out. And we will simply find another sponsor for your sponsored child. So Nathan, he likes dancing. And his favourite subject is language and maths and reading. So, clever boy. Next slide, please. These children just need a friend, somebody to notice them and think, I might not be able to change the world, but I can change the world for you. It costs £28 a month to sponsor a child, less than £1 a day. Provides these children with everything that they need to have a life free of poverty. Very, very small investment for us literally transforms their lives. God invites each of us to join him in changing the world. What's he inviting you to do today? Maybe as you've been listening to this, you've been thinking, I can sponsor a child or another child. Or maybe God's calling you to do something entirely different, like twinning your toilet or, I don't know, any number of brilliant things that you can get involved. What is God saying to you this afternoon? Should we just pray for these children? and for ourselves. If you feel comfortable doing so, you can maybe reach your hands out to them and keep your eyes open maybe and look at the faces as we're praying. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of compassion. We thank you for your love and for your faithfulness. Thank you for the privilege that we have of working with you to change the world. Thank you that you will do a lot with a little, that you can do a lot with a little, that whatever we put into your hands, you will multiply for your glory. Increase our faith, Lord. Teach us to give ourselves to you and to see the amazing difference that you will make with what we're prepared to give. Help us not to see our limitations, but to see your greatness. Help us to trust you more and to do what we can. Amen. We're just going to watch a quick video that just shows the impact that you have. Just one act of generosity towards these children makes such a big difference. This is a video called The Last Letter, and we asked a group of children who are now Compassion graduates to write a final letter to their sponsor, and this is what they said. Thank you, Jordan.
We're here today, and we are going to ask you to write one last letter to your sponsor from all those years ago, just catching them up on who you are today.
Dear Brian and Amy Clark, it has been 21 years since I graduated from the Compassion Center.
The day I found out that you had become my sponsor was one of the best days of my life.
At first, it was unbelievable that somebody wanted to help us. People told us that we will never be somebody in this life.
Not one person I knew believed in me, and poverty was my forever reality. But your decision to sponsor me changed all that.
We knew for sure we will be receiving practical benefits like food, medical cares,
school supplies, and new uniforms every year.
I got my first ever gift, which was my first pair of shoes.
But there were some things we didn't expect.
Learning about Jesus changed my perspective and helped me make good decisions.
Or see my church reach out to my community and see it change.
On your first letter, you told me the phrase, "We love you." It was the first time I ever heard that.
You gave me an opportunity to believe, hope, and dream again.
If only you knew how your prayers made a huge difference.
From not being expected to complete primary school, I now teach in one of the best schools in inner city London.
Jesus saved us and saved my dad. I want you to know it made a difference. Sponsorship changed who I am today.
My family's life has changed for the better.
If only you knew how much all you did impacted me, you'd be so proud of who I have become.
10 years ago, when you stood beside me as the best man in my wedding, it was one of the highlights of my life.
You did it, Jan. We did it.
Thank you for pouring into me and sponsoring me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sincerely, Maria Momohara.
Sincerely, Owen Getanga.
Sincerely, Liz Riera.
With love, Sandy Mai.
Isn't that so brilliant? I mean, it so is, isn't it? I know that these videos are all emotional and everything, and people say, oh, it's just emotional, you just want to get everybody emotional. We don't. These are true stories, real people, and actually we are making a real difference in their lives, and thank you so much for that. And I think sometimes when we feel moved by this sort of thing, that's because it's God's heart. And may God continue to touch our hearts for the things that touch his heart and use that to kind of encourage us that we can make a difference and we can do something. And actually, for us, it's not a huge amount of money. Or maybe it is a small sacrifice. But either way, God uses the things that we give him and he does so much more with it than we could possibly do if we kept it for ourselves. And I guess that's the point of my message this morning. So thank you for everything that you do. It's huge, really, really, really huge. And hey, let's go on a trip one day and go to Rwanda and go and meet all these children when things get back to normal. If anybody would like to sponsor a child or sponsor another child, or if you've got any questions at all, come and see us. We'll be down there. Is it the foyer down there? The atrium, whatever it's called, anyway, down there somewhere. Find us, and we'll be happy to have a chat with you. But thank you so much for everything you do. Thank you for your welcome, and you're a great church. May God continue to bless you as you seek Him and as you seek to serve Him and as you seek to put Jesus first in everything that you do. God bless you.